back to Discover Your Destiny, Discover Your Destiny Part 5. Last week we started talking about identification. And this is such a crucial message. And if you hear what I got to say today, I mean, this may open up so much stuff. Last week we're in Ephesians 4. I'm going to go back there. We're going to look at these verses and break it down a little bit. It was exciting to me as I was going through it. And you remember when I was talking, you got to understand this point. Oh, there's only two men mentioned in Scripture. There's the old man and the new man. And they're called different things. There's Adam, there's Christ. You were in that old man, dead in trespasses and sin, and you've been translated out of that man into the new man, who is Christ. So, Paul's writing this letter, this Ephesian letter to the church. And in verse 1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. You remember what he was talking about last week, and I'm just kind of hitting some high points here to get us back into it. Walk worthy of the vocation. Now, if we don't understand that, then we're going out, we're trying to do something to become worthy. But it means walk in balance. I was talking to a guy this morning, and this is the mentality. A long time ago, you know, we were Primitive Baptists. But way before us, there wasn't Primitive Baptists and Free Will Baptists and Southern Baptists and New Orleans Baptists and Baltimore Baptists, because there's about, you know, 179,000 different flavors of Baptists. I always call this the Baptist Belt. But in our denomination, we gave everybody names. Not so pretty names, but we did. We called them two-seaters, Jesus only, free-willers. You know, we had slang names for everybody. Well, the group that we were closely associated with, because our denomination kind of fed out of Calvinism. If y'all know what Calvinism is, this is predestination. Well, John Calvin was what we called a two-seater. Means you're predestinated to heaven, nothing you can do. You're predestinated to hell, nothing you can do. So, two-seaters. And the comment was made that the two-seaters, two seats, two-seaters, that they must have done something to make God mad, and God took the truth from them. Do you understand what I'm saying? That they done something, ticked God off, God come down, blinded their minds, gave them this crazy doctrine, we're the only ones that had the truth. Because we look at verses like this, walk worthy. And without understanding it, now I've got to go and be worthy. Without understanding it, it means to walk in balance with who you are. Now I'm going out here trying to do something to please God. And I tell you, a lot of people today are being levied with these great burdens to go out and try to please God and do something for God to make God happy. How in the world? I mean, if I'm just thinking of it, have you guys ever just been happy because of an ant? I mean, and I think, you know, if God is so great, which He is, that would make me such a little old pea ant. And you know what I do with pea ants? Pea ants don't make me happy. Actually, they kind of tick me off because they own my sandwich. So what do you do with a pea ant? You flick it off. You squash it. How in the world could a pea ant make me happy? How could a worm make me happy? The only time a worm makes me happy is when it catches a fish. When it gives us life for the bass. You understand what I'm saying? So it's identity. It's an identity problem. That is the number one issue. Identity. People don't know who they are. So he says, walk worthy. Walk in balance. of the calling that you've received. What calling? I mean, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Let your lifestyle be in balance with the calling. Let your lifestyle be equivalent to the gospel. Now, what is that? And don't worry, I'm not going to lay some burdens on you here. I hope to bring in some liberty. But as we said last week, you've heard the gospel. You've responded to the gospel. You know, you were over here. You heard the gospel and you turned. And then, you know, you investigated. And there was all that time. And then you committed to the gospel. And out of that commitment comes identification. I told you, that's the way it works out. And because you've committed, now let your lifestyle come into balance. And what I mean is, be who you are. Being who you are is really easy. Now, I got to show you some verses here. Because the first thing that I'm thinking of, and I got accused of all these things. And this will be what happens, because as soon as you start to be who you are, now we're going to throw a word out at you. Oh, you bunch of arrogant people. Who do you think you are laying hands on people? Who do you think you are? Just, you know what I mean? So they accuse Jesus of the very arrogance of all those things. Who does he think he is? He calls himself the Son of God. I mean, he walks around, calls himself, who does he think he is? But yet he walked in great humility. I mean, come on. It's hard for me sometimes to weigh these matters out. But I saw it. So in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, just a couple verses. Likewise, ye younger, it used to be me, it's not me anymore. Likewise, ye middle-aged. Yeah. Submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. That's what I'm looking for. Clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So here we are back to humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. So now, without understanding humility, this is where I say we go with all these extremes. So now, when I grew up, being humble was, I'm a no good sinner. I'm just a rotten, I'm no good, I'm just a worm. And we think that's being humble. That's not being humble, that's being a liar. I'm telling you the truth, that's being a liar. So what does he mean here? Submit yourself unto God. Be humble yourselves. Humble yourself. What's he say? Be clothed with humility. Now, I got to show you a couple other verses here. Romans chapter 4. Now listen to this. I'm going to start in verse 21. Just kind of going through these quick here, okay? Being fully persuaded. He's talking about Abraham. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to do. He was fully persuaded. Have you ever been fully persuaded that what God has promised, he's fully able to do? Or have you been duped into thinking that's not for today, that's for another time? Abraham was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Do you know what that means? I'm just using it's kind of a banking term. You guys have heard this before, but let's say your bank account says non-sufficient funds, or as a matter of fact, you're in the hole. But yet somebody comes and puts in your account $1,234,319.47. Got to have the exact figure, see if y'all paid attention. Could you repeat that back to me, Joe? What? $1,234,34. Yeah. So now I've got something imputed on my account. Right? Something's imputed on my account. So righteousness has been imputed on your account. Okay? So that means I used to be a negative. Now I'm considered a millionaire. Something's been, you know. And I love this next verse. When I seen this last night, I thought, well, this verse here, listen to what it said. It wasn't written for his sake alone. I mean, this was recorded not for Abraham alone. Abraham lived 5,000 years ago. And the Holy Spirit says, write this down, because Tim King needs to hear this. Because it wasn't just for Abraham. It was for Tim King too. And write this down, because it wasn't just for Abraham. It was for Jim Moore and Olga. You understand what I'm saying? So write this down. And Paul, the Holy Spirit said, Paul, write it down. This wasn't just for Abraham. This is for you. Now remember, clothed with humility. That's what we're looking at. Don't lose sight of humility. But now I'm righteous. And you understand what I'm saying? Because people are going to call you names. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. We talked about that, didn't we? God raised, if thou shalt believe in thine heart. Who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for what? Our justification. You know what justification means? That means nobody can levy any charge against you. That means in the court of all heavens, you're innocent. Not only are you innocent, my gosh, you're counted righteous. There's one thing to be counted, he didn't do it. But there's another thing to be counted, he's a good fellow. You understand what I'm saying? You're just not guilty. You're counted as a good fellow, as a good person, as righteous. That's who you are. Raised for our justification. Therefore, because of that, because of what I have just said, being justified. Now, how do I get a hold of this justification? By faith. Means I believe, means I respond to it. Because that's what faith is. Faith is not blind, stupid thinking. Faith is, I've been justified. Now I'm going to respond to it. I'm going to start acting like who I am. Justified. By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I used to be afraid of God because I thought we was at war. I thought God was out to get me. I thought I did something to make God mad, because usually when people get mad, then wars start. Just like the guy said, they must have done something to make God mad, and God pulled the good truth from them. But what happened? Now I realize I'm at peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. So there's nothing I can do to put myself at war with God. His reckless love, his goodness of God is ever pursuing me, and there's nothing I can do about it. Do you understand that? Me and Tim talking the other day, and I said this, and Barry said it, but I'll say it again. You're not free from sin until you're free to sin. Now, see, we ain't supposed to say that in the church, but I mean, that's true. Well, what I'm going to talk about today is behavior, but guess what? I'm free. You're free. And you're counted as, in the eyes of God, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you're counted righteous. You're counted as a good person. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in the hope and the expectation. Abraham believed God. There was an expectation there. What do you believe in God for? And I'm rejoicing that he promised he's more than able to do it. This is not an empty promise. I get excited about it, guys. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about what's about to take place. I see it. I see the belt breaking. I do. I mean, I really do. See the Bible belt breaking. We can look around this area and we don't see a whole lot going on. An area that's riddled with alcoholism and drug addiction and unemployment and all of those other things. You say, how, Lord? I mean, it's ripe. It's ripe. The fields are white and ready to harvest. And I believe God, who said, hey, write this down. God is way more than able to do it. You think, well, I don't know how he can do it. But see, we forget sometimes, where did he get you from? You know, some people were raised up under a church pew, and that's good. Some of us wasn't raised up in the church pew. Or maybe we went to church a little bit, but then where God brought us from wasn't church pew. You know, I really, in my mind, guys, I'll be honest with you, it's an easier miracle to deliver somebody off of drugs and alcohol than it is to deliver them from religion. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Because that's the hard thing. It gets inbred in us, you know. But, so we're talking about humility here. And you know the word, Jesus says, Learn of me, I'm meek and lowly of heart. The word lowly, that's the same word, humble. I've got a humble heart. That's what Jesus said. The same Jesus that walked around, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. The same Jesus that they say, who are you? And they, what Jesus would say, I'm from above, you're from beneath. The same Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, is the same one that says, I'm humble. But I'm humble means it wasn't like the movie where he walked around and said, you know what, I'm just a whole nothing. He walked around skippity-doo-da-day. He walked around in joy. So much joy the people thought, we got to silence this guy. I mean, people ain't supposed to be this happy. You know what I mean? He's the guy that walks up to people and says, do you want to be made whole? Who does he think he is? This guy's been laying out here 38 years. This guy walks up and just says, who? Jesus is the guy who walked through the field getting corn and you know, weaning the corn. It wasn't corn, he was weaning wheat. That's what it was. He wasn't picking ears of corn. He was getting the wheat so they could make some bread on the Sabbath day. They said, who does this guy think he is? Healing on the Sabbath day? He's harvesting on the Sabbath. Who does he think he is? But yet Jesus said he's humble. So I'm trying to get to in the mindset. Humble don't mean I walk around with a hood on and my head down all the time. I'm a low-down, dirty, rotten worm. That ain't got nothing to do with humility. Now remember, we started out in Ephesians here to walk worthy of the vocation, walk worthy of the calling. And so what I'm trying to show you is humility is a part of it. So walk worthy, walk in balance doesn't mean... remember he says, put on humility. We read that in Peter. And in Romans 13:14, it says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You reckon I got to put on a bunch of coats? Okay, I got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to put on humility. I got to put on the bowels of mercy. Man, I got 4 or 5 coats on. You reckon he's talking about the same thing? Said a little bit different. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have what? Put on Christ already? So what's he saying here? You've already put on Christ, so start acting like it. Start acting like it. Start acting like who you are. Acts 20:19, serving the Lord with all humility. And then right here back, let me go back over here to Ephesians. Ephesians 4:2. Remember, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called with all lowliness. The word lowliness there is humility. Same word. With all humility and meekness. So he's telling you to walk in balance, but yet be humble as you walk in balance. So if we don't understand what he's talking about, being humble here, we might as well go get us a sticker. I'm an old sinner saved by grace. Put it on our cars, ride around. There's many words, and for time's sake, I won't go in into them all. You know, Paul says, I know how to be abased and abound. The word abased there, humility. Now, the word humility does mean to come under. I don't want you to misunderstand me here. Humility means to submit and to come under. I want you to understand. Now, we're to be in balance yet to come under. So see, if I don't understand this, man, I'm all out of whack here. So what does he mean to submit yet walk in balance yet be humble? I'm all messed up here. Well, in Ephesians 1, it says in verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Remember, we're talking about the mighty hand of God. Peter mentioned that over there. He said, so we know his own right hand. We're talking about Jesus Christ here in the heavenly places. Far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head. Ah, now I'm starting to get it. I told you there was two guys, two men. One is Adam. Adam is the head of that body. And there's another body who Christ is. Is the head of that body. You understand what I'm saying? So now we just got into headship. So any place I'm going to be in this body is not going to be in the head. It's going to be underneath the head. I'm going to be submitted. You understand? I'm not trying to take over the headship part, but I'm going to be in the body part, which is It says to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we're talking about all of us together are the very body of Jesus Christ, and he fills us all. So we find our place in the body. That's kind of what I'm saying here. So I'm saying we've investigated. The investigated time is over. We've committed. Now humble yourselves to be who you're called to be in his body. Take your place. Now in this body is filled with Jesus, but if I was to give you these words, I would say this body is filled with peace. Do you think this body of Adam over here is filled with peace? You guys watch it on the news? We're trying to impeach Trump every 38 minutes. I found out the other day that Trump was the reason we had civil war.
Gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, he started. Yeah. He made calls. He did it. But you understand what I'm saying? So in this man, it's nothing but chaos. And honestly, why would you expect anything different? Why would you expect a blind person not to trip? So this man is full of chaos. But you're not in that man. You're in this man over here. This man over here is full of life. He's full of joy. He's full of peace. So for me to act like this guy over here is out of character with who I am. To be caught up in this is out of character. It's out of balance. So I submit myself. I'm humble. Okay. Because you understand you're filled with the very presence of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's read this again. Verse 2 in Ephesians 4:2. With all lowliness, that's with all humility. Now remember, I got to walk in balance. So I'm walking. How am I going to walk in balance? With all humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing. That's a beautiful word for with I've got to put up with you. I'm telling you the truth. It means, look, I didn't pick you in the body. If it was me picking, I probably wouldn't have picked you. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just telling you the truth. I wouldn't have picked you. But now that we're in the same body, I've got to put up with you, and guess what? You've got to put up with me. Well, yeah. Okay? Liking each other ain't got nothing to do with it. We submit ourselves one to another. Because you come out of different places and backgrounds. I come out of different places and backgrounds. And now while we're getting to know, we forbear one another with long-suffering humility. I submit to you. You submit to me. We put up with one another. Forbearing one another. How? In love. In love. This is going to be so key. And I'm going to say, I got to keep moving here. That word with there, that means accompaniment with, in association with. Endeavoring, so now I've got something that I'm pursuing. I'm endeavoring. I'm pursuing what? To keep the unity. My God, keep the unity. How many churches do we have that are split up 47 different ways? I don't like you and you don't like me. I'm going to start another one. What happened to our pursuit, endeavoring to keep what? The unity. The unity of the Spirit in the what? Bond of peace. And look what he says right here. I just got to go over these verses quick. There's one body. Keep in mind, walking worthy. Walking in balance. Don't pull these verses out of context. Walking in balance. In a company with humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then Paul throws us in, guys, because he says there's only one body. It doesn't matter if you like me or if you don't. Or if you put a sign up that says I'm the best Baptist and you're second best Baptist. Doesn't matter. There's one body. Some people will come and ask you, what church do you belong to? Is there more than one? I mean, I got to ask you, is there more than one? No. There's only one church. And Paul says, look, this is it, guys. There's one body. That's it. There's one body. And guess what, guys? One Spirit. One Holy Spirit. Even as you are called in what? One hope of your calling. Oh, gosh, so we all got the same calling. What's the same calling? Coming to me. What is that calling? Learn of me. That's what he says. I thought it was to do this or to do this. You might do all of that. That's good. There's one Lord. One faith. One baptism. What do you mean there's one baptism? I mean, I'll count your baptism, your baptism, your baptism. Because we're all baptized into his baptism. His baptism is the one that counted. And guess what? When I was baptized into his death. So his death was the only one that counted. And when I got placed into his... See, if I die, I'm just a dead sinner. But once I got placed into his death washed away all that other stuff, and now his death counts as me. So there's only one death. That was him. Only one. One God... One Father of all, who is what? Above all, through all, and what? In you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Gifts in the body differing one from another. Now remember, we're talking about one body. What do I mean, grace according to the measure? I've heard some people say, well, you get more Spirit than I got. We're talking about a unity of the body. So in this body, some of you or me or whatever, maybe he's graced you and brought you into a body to be a foot. And he's given you grace to be a foot. Now, you don't want to submit to being a foot. You don't want to be humble. And you think, I want to be a hand. I'm pretty aggravated that I'm a foot. You remember Paul had this very discussion with the Corinthian church? Can the hand say to the foot, I have no need of thee? No, you all need one another. And he's given you grace. He's given you enough grace to be the best foot. That, I mean, you're exactly the foot the body needs. And he's given you grace and you're the hand the body needs. There's a lot of parts in the body you can't see. There's the livers and kidneys and you know, all kinds of things in the body that you can't even see. But they all work together. So that's what he's talking about. It's not no Oh, I'm a great preacher and you are nothing in the body. He's gave us grace to be in the body so that the body can function as one whole being. And this is so important. He says, y'all missed the point. Because everybody wants to be the big popular one, or I've got grace, or call me an apostle, or call me a prophet, or, you know, all this other stuff, and I'm just a lowly old nothing. Well, you may be the best prophet in the whole world, but if you ain't got no feet and you can't walk, how are you going to go with ye into all the world and preach the gospel? You know what I mean? There's no room for pride here. There is no room for pride here. Because he says we're endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So, and Paul goes on to tell us, what's all this for? For the perfecting, and in verse 12, of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying the body of Christ. And we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I would have thought Paul said, see, y'all go to heaven. That ain't what Paul said. Paul said, you're already there. You're already seated with Christ in heavenly places. That part's been, you can't change all that. What the real reason is, what your real destiny is, what your real purpose is for the growing up of the body. Now I'm going to show you here just a little bit of why this is so important. Why is this so important for the growing up, the edifying of the body? Notice how one of the things that we take place here is unity. Unity. And then in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, making the increase of the body into the edifying of itself, where in love. Do you ever notice those things? And you ever notice when God is blessing and doing all those things, it's always according to His effectual work, and it's according to His mighty power. It's according to His... But the church will tell you that. The preachers will tell you it's according to how much you read this week, according to how much you prayed this week, according to how much you witnessed this week, according to what you did this week. It's none of that. It's according to His grace, according to His riches and glory. According to His mighty power. And then Paul says, this I say therefore, because of all of that I just said, because of everything, walk worthy, one body, one spirit, endeavoring to keep the spirit of unity and the bond of peace, all of that, all of this for the edifying. Remember, two bodies here. Paul says, this I say therefore, and testify to the Lord that you... Henceforth, he says, from now on, henceforth, that means from now on, walk not as the Gentiles walk. Don't walk like this body anymore. That is not who you are. The Gentiles walk that way. They walk in blindness and envy and strife and anger and worry and malice and bitterness, and they do all of that. Backbiting. He says, because now you need to walk worthy, don't walk that way no more. I don't know if you guys ever... Every time I think of that, I get this picture in my mind. You guys thinking pictures. There's a movie out. I'm not supposed to tell y'all this, right? There's a movie. It's a black and white movie. But... there's this guy playing this part in it, Marty Feldman. You know who Marty Feldman is? And he tells this guy, he gets off the train, and he's there to get his luggage and stuff, and he says, walk this way. And the guy's got a humpback. It's young Frankenstein. Yeah. And he's and he's walking like this, carrying a suitcase. So the guy, he humps over and he starts walking just like him. Now he's perfectly fine. And I think it's funny, but I think that's the way the world is. I mean, you've been made upright, but yet we try to walk like the world is, and we're all humped over. He says, don't do that. I know it's silly, ain't it? But anytime all we do, we try to walk all humped over and carry it and all crippled over. That's not who you are, Paul says. Don't do that anymore. I knew I would be able to preach out of that book. Young Frankenstein. It's good. Don't put the candle back. It's my favorite part of the room. Listen carefully. Don't put the candle back. Y'all have to go watch it. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Don't do that. And look at verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Put off that old man. Remember we read, put on humility, put on Christ. He says, put off that old man in the conversation, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which is after God, and created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he says, put away lying. Don't do that. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, sin not. Don't let the sun go down. Don't give the devil a chance. That's what he's saying right there. Let him that stole steal no more. Used to steal. Don't do that anymore. That's the way they do. You don't do that anymore. Right? You don't do that anymore. But you used to steal, but now let him work with his own hands that you may give to those that don't have. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of you. But what does he mean by that? He says, stop gossiping. This is what they do. They gossip and backbite. He said, don't do that. Walk in balance with who you are. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Every time you do this, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit says that ain't who you are. You know, I mean, just I put things in practical sense. And you bought this, the most expensive table in the whole world, and you had the best chef, and you cooked up the best meal that anybody, the most expensive, this meal cost millions of dollars, but yet you would rather have it thrown in the dirt outside and go eat outside in the dirt because that's what you're used to eating out of. That ain't who you are. It's come into the table. Jesus knocking on the door. I desire to come in and have supper with you. I come in. The table's been set. I know a guy who's a good friend of mine. Every Sunday he says the same thing he's been saying for 40 years. He says, I hope God will throw us a few crumbs from the master's table. Sounds humble, don't it? Sounds humble. I guarantee you come over to my house and here's Morgan and Zach and I'm sitting there at the king's chair and I just take my hand and shove some stuff out on the floor. I mean, y'all looking at me like, oh, that's crazy. But yet we think that's what God does. Oh, kind of here. Here's you a few crumbs. Oh, I'm so humble. Thank you, Lord. All right. Oh, got a little dirt in that one. Thank you, Lord. And then how are you going to praise a God like that? My gosh, we were singing some songs here a few minutes ago, and there's some worship and praise taking place right here. And it wasn't because he was throwing our food in the dirt. Not eating off that. That's not who you are. Now, maybe you can understand about grieving the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put it away. Stop it. Put it away now. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How do we forgive? Even as God, for Christ's sake, have what? Forgiven you. Now remember, why would he say that? Because remember, we're put into one body. And I may not like you, but I'm told to forbear you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm saying I gotta forgive. So I may not like you, but guess what? Tough. Forgive. I may not like you, but that don't give me the right to go out here and start my own and do my own thing, start another denomination. It does not give me the right. I gotta put up with you. You understand what I'm saying? I gotta put up with it. Why? Because there's only one body, one spirit, endeavoring to keep the unity. Now I know it sounds tough, though. I don't even know where I'm at. Yeah, here we go. Not counting you as an enemy. Forgiving you. Not counting you as an enemy. Be kind one to another. So we got to look at something here. How do we deal with the world then? I mean, look. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling savor. Then he goes through all this. I won't go through all this, but fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. He lists this whole thing of all this that takes place in this man over here. And then he says in verse 14, chapter 5, verse 14, wherefore he saith, he's quoting from the prophet a long time ago, and he said, wherefore he said it, you know what, Isaiah said it, and it's good to say now, it's appropriate for me to say it, write it down, the Holy Spirit is saying, awake, awake. He's saying to the church, wake up guys, you've been asleep. Wait a minute, I thought, you know, if you're sleeping, you're not out working for the Lord, or unless you're a lazy bum. But he says, he wasn't counting nothing. He says, you guys are asleep. You're asleep. Wake up. Wake up. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You with me? I said this last week, this is not a doing to become. We're not doing something to become something. It's seeing that you already are. Seeing that you already are justified. You already are righteous. You already are in Christ. You already are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, do it. Put off malice. Forgive one another. You with me here? Now let me go give you this other one here. Romans chapter 12. Oh, this is a good one. Because Paul's saying the same thing. Paul copycatted a whole lot of his stuff. Listen to this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now remember, I went over last week about mercies. Mercies ain't pity. Mercy is this excitement of this covenant word, that this loving kindness of God's grace is ever coming to you. That's what this word is. I beseech you by the mercies of God, of the grace that is ever coming to you, filling you, overflowing you, this excitement that is ever coming at you. And I beseech you by that, this joy. Okay? I'm beseeching you by this joy that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Notice it's a living sacrifice, not a dead one. Now, how do I present my body a living sacrifice? Well, we've just been talking about it over in Ephesians. With lowliness of mind, humility, meekness, endeavoring to keep the spirit of unity in the bond of peace. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? This is how I do it. This is the functional side of it. This is how I do it. Which is your, you know, forbearing one another in love, which is your reasonable service. Now, one of the translations say that's spiritual worship. But I want to talk to you about that just a little bit. The word worship, you can look this up. The word worship means to lick the hand like a dog. That's what the word worship means. To lick the hand like the dog. Which is your reasonable service. Okay, service has to do with worship, but it was a word taken from the tabernacle. When the priest would go in the tabernacle to do the service unto God, he would go in and make sure the lamp had oil. He would go in and trim the wicks. He would go in and service the table of showbread. He would go in to burn the incense. Maybe it was to carry the blood. So that's the word. He was doing service unto God. Now stay with me. Your reasonable service. It would say in Hebrews 9:6, accomplishing the service of God. That's where I've got that. That's performing the office of a priesthood. Now what did Peter say? You guys are what? A royal priesthood. So now that you're a royal priesthood, you are going to do service unto God. So what are you going to be doing? Because you know what? We are the body. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about what? How we serve one another in love. So when Paul says your reasonable service, he's saying the same thing that he did in Ephesians 4:1. Walk worthy, walk in balance. Reasonable service, walk in balance. You get me? Walk in balance. He's saying let your actions reflect who you really are. Now, there's another body here. And be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. What it means is don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Now, I got to say something here. Do you guys realize there's a spirit that works out there? And I don't know. I know some of you guys work. It's like I work on the railroad. And there's a spirit of the railroad. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you get hired on to a place, they bring you in that, and what do they want to do? They want to conform you to the spirit that operates on the railroad. So that you think like a railroad, you act like a railroad, you do everything that they do. And with that comes the anxiety, all the rumors, everything. You find out what it really is. You see that everybody there lives in worry, talks about layoffs all the time, the company shut down, sold off, your job's doing away. That's all it is. And you've got to conform to it, and then you're there in all the worry and anxiety. You go to the hospital. There's a spirit of the hospital. I'm not saying it's full of darkness. I'm just saying it's a spirit of there, and they want to conform you into that image. Wherever you work, it's a factory that you work. You go there, there's a spirit there, and they want to squeeze you into that mold. And what's Paul saying? Don't let them squeeze you into that mold. You know what I'm talking about, Denise. You sell stuff and do that stuff, and there's a spirit there. And you know how things operate, but we don't let them squeeze us into that mold. But what? Be ye transformed. How am I transformed? By what? The renewing of your mind. Transform. You know what transformed is? That's metamorphosis. So that means the worm is not really a worm. I mean, it may look like a worm and it may act like a worm, but really, it's a butterfly in there. So right now, I may see wormness. I may see wormness, but I've got to forbear one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I've got to put up with your wormness because I'm looking past your wormness into the butterfly that you really are. So don't be squeezed into the world over here. You understand what I'm saying? Because they'll squeeze you in it. And so you understand how many worlds you could be squeezed into? That's what he's saying. You guys know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking Greek here. I mean, I think You know, and you know, he says, go ye into all the world. Remember he said that in Mark, go ye into all the world. Remember he said in Acts that you'd be witnesses. We're at. Because you're going to go into that world, and if you conform to that world and all the world is walking like this and you're walking like this, you're not a witness in that world. You're just one of them. But if you walk into the world and you're standing upright, you're a witness into the world that there is life, there's joy, there's peace. And what does God want? He wants that world to witness to. And how do I witness to that world? I go into that world and not conform to it, but I'll be who I am in that world. You with me? That's why he said, go into that world. Don't be conformed to that world. I'm not trying to keep you all isolated. The church has built walls up, and we don't want anybody of that. Guys, this ain't about building walls. This is about infiltration. This is about going into that world and witnessing into that world. And how do I do that? By just being who I am. I go into that world, and the world is all gospel. And I say, you know what? For the love of God that's shed abroad in my heart, I can't do that. Everybody goes in there and they're stealing from the company. And they say, hey, take this. And I can't. I can't. These hands that used to steal, guess what? They're not even my hands anymore. These hands were bought with a price. It wasn't just me. My feet was bought with a price. My hands were bought with a price. These hands that stole, I can't let them steal no more. I don't have to pray about forgiving. I don't, oh Lord, should I forgive that person? That's a wasted prayer. Yeah. You've been forgiven. Guess what? Yeah. Forgive. It's easy. You with me here? You understand what I'm... Don't be squeezed into their mold. Let's see, you've got the grace already there to do it. The grace is already there. Before you were bound by that guy, but now the grace is there, and we do it. As you do this, you'll discover the grace is there that you need. Just like the man who was on the ground and what the just... Who are the just? You are. And the just shall what? Live by what? Faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. So, I may not feel like doing it, but guess what? I walk worthy. I do it anyway. I'm stuck with it. Look, back over to Ephesians. Go back over there real quick. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Paul, what's he said? Paul said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Paul wrote this letter from the Philippian jail. Now, if there was any doubt that Paul was not a prisoner of Rome, look at the handcuffs he had on him. They had the Roman insignia on him. If you don't think that was enough, Roman guards are standing at the door. He's in a Roman jail, and yet Paul has the audacity to say, I'm not your prisoner. I am a prisoner of the Lord. Therefore, I will not act like all the other prisoners do. I'm going to sing praise. You understand what I'm saying? He walked worthy of the vocation wherewith he was called, and he began to sing praise in the Philippian jail, guys. And people got saved while Paul was in jail. He didn't start a stinking prayer circle saying, God, get me out of here. He said, Lord, you got me right where you want me. I pray a door of utterance be opening while we're here. I'm feeling a little bit better, and I'm going to start singing. He walked worthy of the vocation. He wasn't writing this thing to solve. He was living it, guys. And I'm telling you, wherever you're at, God has got you right there. You're a prisoner of the Lord. Walk worthy of the vocation. He said, you've got me here. How about Joseph? Remember Joseph? Young kid, probably 22 years old. He's a slave. Doesn't even know the language. He's in Potiphar's house. 22 years old. Now, guys, I got to be honest with you. He's 22. He's a young man. Raging with hormones. He's 22. He's in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife throws herself at him. He's 22 years old. He's away from home. He's a slave. All in the house has been given to him. And Potiphar's wife, day after day, is coming at him. I mean, what did Joseph say? I mean, this is what people do. Well, I've got to do it, you know. But Joseph said, far be it from me. Everything in the master's house is put into my hands except for you, and you are the wife. You got an identity problem too because you're a wife. You don't know who you are. Far be it from me to do this thing and watch sin against God. He says, little sister, I know who I am. How could I walk unworthy with who I am? How could I walk out of balance with who I am? You see, people go out here and sin and do these things. Church people do them. We have scandals of adultery and all these things in the church. Why? Because people don't know who they are. How in the world could you do that if you know who you are? How in the world could you lower yourself down, how being in sin against God? I'm not afraid God's going to get mad at me. But that's not who I am. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm almost finished. Yeah, just about 3 minutes, Jeff. This identity, guys, gives you boundaries. Why does it give you boundaries? Because I can't do that stuff anymore. I can't do it. You know, I can't. And I've been there, and I've done this thing. I mean, you ever have any juicy stuff on somebody and everybody's talking about it, and you think, this is a great opportunity. I can jump in there because I know some stuff they don't know, and I can really add to this. And really, well, because of the love of God that's been shed abroad in my heart, I can't do it now. I can't do it. In other words, there's a boundary been set. It's the boundary of love. The bulwarks. The walls of salvation. I hope I'm making sense here. Now listen, if you don't know the grace of God in this, you know what will happen? You'll hear what I'm telling you, and you'll go out and try to do it. Okay, oh, preacher said don't gossip today. So I'm going to try not to gossip. Man, that's some good news. Some good news. I mean, I gotta, you know, just let me tell one person, you know. We're friends, I can tell them, and you'll lose that battle. Because it's understanding who you are. You'll always lose that battle. That's not the way. It always begins with who you are. You understand? Who you are said, I can't do that. Because I'm such a man as this, I can't do it. Because I've seen the truth of the way things really are, therefore that would be inconsistent. I wouldn't be walking in balance with who I am. Now what do? We serve people by giving away the message. What I'm saying here is, when you forgive somebody, you're serving them with the message that you've received. Because I'm forgiving in accordance with how I was forgiven. Unconditional. When you're kind and compassionate, tender-hearted, one to another, you're serving them with what you have already received. That's reasonable service. Spiritual worship. What you've already become, you now give it away so that you now impact your world. So now you go into your world of railroad, or your world of Mary Kay, or your world of the factory, or wherever. You go into your world and you impact with your world with the things that you've been given. That's what Peter did. Silver and gold have I none, but I'm coming into your world of crippledness, and I'm going to say I have health. So such as I have, what I give unto thee. So go into your world of courthouse and give such as you have received. You understand what I'm saying? And then you are living witnesses. We are called to reveal Christ to the world. That's what you're called to do, to reveal Christ to the world. And when you become His body of people, when the body of people come together, guess what? You are the light of the world. Revealing Christ in your actions. Why doesn't the church do it? You know what's the most popular thing here in the world today? Eschatology. Revelation. Why worry about changing our culture when I'm going to be raptured out of here anyway? Why worry about, you understand? I guarantee you, I look out here, all seats empty. I publish on Facebook in 2 weeks, I'm doing a book of Revelation, eschatology, end of time, prophecy of Israel. I'll have to sell tickets. Because I don't really want to go impact my world. I don't really want to impact, I just want out. Guys, we are called to impact our world, our culture. God called us to change Lebanon. He called us to change Rosedale. He called us to change Raven and Richlands and Tazewell. And that's why we're here. Now walk worthy of it. Go in there and look. It may look like it's an overdaunting task, but look, every time I count, I think 10,000, 10,000, 10,000, 10,000, 10,000. Yeah. Ain't that many people around here, so we got more than enough people right here to impact half the state. That's why we're here, guys. It's time. The truth has got to be translated over into our behavior. How does the world know that you're His disciples? Because you got a church sign? Because you got a tie on Sunday? Because you wear some collar shirt? Because you got a special? Because you got a bun on your head and you wear a long blue jean skirt? How does the world know you're My disciples? How? Because you love one another. That's it, guys. That is it. That's how this whole thing works. So, Denise, you come on and say amen.